Welcome to the Thrive Life Show. I'm your host, Donnie Prasad. They call me Pastor D, and I'm excited you've decided to connect with me on this podcast where we focus on thriving in life and leadership, not just surviving, but thriving. And as always, if this blesses or helps you in any way, please do share it with a friend. Now let's get into today's episode. Right, I hope you guys are having a good day, and it's been a good week. I'm excited. Listen, last week we had a really good time talking about locking in and how do we lock in on the voice of God. This is episode number 6. God has been keeping me on the voice, on understanding the voice of God and hearing the voice of God, because I believe that He really is trying to get our attention in this season. He wants to lock in with us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to connect with you. And so I'm doing my best to lock in or to help us get into this. All right, so tonight we're talking about decoding, being able to decode. You need the download. You've got to learn how to lock in, but we've got to decode. Amen. Well, listen, God is going to speak tonight. But before I get into Thrive Life stuff here, I want to talk just for a moment on the situation that we've seen in Minnesota with George Floyd. It is very difficult to watch what happened with him in that situation. This man was begging and pleading for his life. People who were watching were begging and pleading to have mercy on this man. And you know, the officers on video in broad daylight took his life. And it's important that I feel that, you know, we've seen this happen in the States. We've seen this before. But I really feel in my heart that this could be a shift and a change. And each of us needs to recognize the importance of our voice. If you say, hey, what am I going to be able to do? Every person needs to have a voice. We need to fix this, what's happening. God does not like injustice. I mean, this is you search the Bible. We've got to deal with social injustice. This thing is hard, difficult to watch. Our kids saw this video, and this thing was over a fake $20 bill, whatever the background. I don't know the full background, but you know, it broke my heart when I heard he was crying for his mama, and then someone close to him said his mama passed away 2 years ago. So we want to pray for the situation that's happening in the States and what's happening there. I want to read something that my wife wrote on her page that I liked. It said, "We are required to seek justice for horrific acts committed against our fellow brothers and sisters of the human race, to extend mercy, to treat all with kindness and compassion, regardless of ethnic and socioeconomic status, to walk humbly, not perceiving ourselves as better than another, or considering our life more valuable than another, to act justly and to love with mercy, to walk humbly with our God." That's Micah 6:8, the last part. If you haven't followed her, you can do that. And her page, Relentless to Pursue. But let's continue to remember this in prayer. It's shaking the nation. It's shaking people around the world to witness what we saw. And we want justice to prevail, but we want this to stop. And I'm saying that I believe that our voice needs to be heard. Everybody, collectively, our voice needs to be heard. And God, we need to hear the voice of God, and we need to deal with this in the house. And then we've got to be able to deal with this more broadly. All right, so continue to pray. All right, let's get into Thrive Life tonight. We're dealing with decoding. God bless you. Listen, you've got to get the download. You need to hear from God. You've got to get the download. This download is going to set you up. The download is going to position you. It's going to set you in motion. Remember the text that we've been dealing with in Deuteronomy 28:1. And it says, "If you diligently listen and obey my voice and be careful to do all I command, the Lord will set you above all the nations of the earth. Blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you pay attention to the voice of the Lord." The voice of God is so important. Lord, I need to hear your voice. Come on, somebody. We need to hear the voice of God now more than ever. All right, God operates at a certain frequency. Sound has a frequency. So we've got to lock into the frequency of God's voice. Remember, we've got to be locked and we've got to be loaded. And when you get the download, you are loaded. You've got instruction, you've got impartation, you've got direction, you've got what God has put inside of you. So every single one of us needs this download, and we've got to learn to decode the download. Come on, somebody. I want to say this again because I so believe this in this season. Every voice has an assignment. Every voice has an assignment. Your voice has an assignment. Come on, somebody say that. My voice has an assignment. God has put people around you that need to hear your voice. God is expanding your territory and your influence because there are people beyond what you can see today that need your voice. Your voice must become his voice. Come on, somebody. When you speak, it is as if God is speaking through you. You speak with words. You speak with your fingers as you type. You speak with your hands. You've got to lock in, and you've got to make sure you can decode what God is looking for, and you've got to use your voice. Your voice it has an assignment on your voice. We've got great singers and musicians. Some of what I'm going to talk about, some singers are going to be able to relate, and musicians, but your voice is distinct and you need to find your voice. When you follow his voice, I'm going to say it again, you will find your voice. We need the voice of God. Father, God, I thank you because listen, please, I want to say this. I said this last week. There is a place for your voice. There is a platform for your voice. So you have got to value your voice. If you do not value your voice, nobody else will. Jabez prayed, God, enlarge my territory. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. And why? Because we've got to pray for the expansion so God can use us to the maximum. I dealt with some things, and I appreciate a lot of people were messaging me and telling me how that it blessed you. But last week we talked about how do we know the voice of God? You can distinguish that voice from any other voice. The voice of the enemy, your own voice, the voice of your flesh, the voice of people around you, the voice of the situation and the circumstance. I'm going to deal with this really quickly. Then we're going to get in tonight. Remember, you can distinguish and you know the voice of God speaking through your thoughts by experience. The more you hear the voice, the more you recognize the voice. You can discern the voice of God through elimination. You begin to eliminate things that just you can tell is coming from your flesh and perhaps your own bias. You can discern the voice of God because of alignment. It must be in line with the scriptures. God is not going to tell you to do something that is out of line. He's not going to tell you to lie so that you can get this job. He's going to make a way and keep you walking upright. Experience, elimination, alignment, conviction. The voice of God is going to convict you. It's something so strong when you feel it and you are compelled to move. You are compelled to act. And I gave you an example. Many examples. The voice of God you would know through repetition. It's a voice that is going to come to you over and over again. And this is a big one. This is a big one. We must have peace. My voice has an assignment. Peace is a governor. You know, some cars can allow you to lock or set a limit on the speed so that you don't break the speed limit and go beyond a certain barrier. You can set your car in Toronto, you know, maybe you put the governor, that's what it's called, at 150 kilometers, because some people do that, because if you go over 150, it's automatically lose your car. But peace is a governor. You've got to have peace. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. If you do not have peace over decisions in your life, over things that you're thinking about doing, the direction you're thinking of going, a relationship that you're in, a job that you're looking to take, if you do not have peace, pause. Come on. If you do not have peace, pause. Peace is a great indicator that you are moving in the right direction. These are ways we can discern the voice of God in our life. But tonight I'm talking about decoding. How can we decode? We need to know that voice that when God is speaking to us, but we've got to be able to decode the voice of God so that we can know when he is speaking. I'm going to get into something tonight. Tonight I told you we're talking about the model of prayer. And I believe that prayer itself is part of a model of communication. It is a framework for us to have conversation with God. Come on, we can have conversation with God. It governs how humanity can interact and gives us some guidelines with divinity. with God. We can connect with God through prayer. Yes, come on. If you're joining us, you can hit the share button, tag some people. We're getting in here tonight. So I'm going to say this. Too many of us have the wrong focus when we pray. I've had the wrong focus for some time. Too many of us pray to speak, but we need to pray to listen. That is a greater part of prayer. Yes, we want to speak in prayer. We want to adore God. We want to say, thank you, God, for your blessing, your mercy. Thank you for favor. Thank you for whatever you're doing. You got to worship and adore him. But praying, we got to pray not just to speak, but we need to pray to hear. There needs to be a shift in how we pray. We've got to pray to hear. Many of us call God on the phone, so to speak, and then we hang up before he starts to speak back to us. That is not what prayer is meant. Prayer is a discipline that we need to engage in, that we can train ourselves. Through prayer, we train ourselves to hear the voice of God. What does prayer do for you? This is so important. All my musicians on here, singers, you're gonna connect with this. Prayer opens your spiritual ear. Somebody post that. Prayer opens your spiritual ear. Prayer allows you to decode. You become so sensitive to the voice of God because you're spending much time in prayer. It doesn't come as strongly through any other means. It comes through prayer. It will open your spiritual ears like nothing else. All right, let me give you an example. Musicians spend a lot of time training their ear. Where are the musicians at? Now, I play a little bit of drums, but my ear isn't sharp that I can distinguish notes when it comes to being a musician. But musicians train themselves to listen for distinct sounds so that they can tell what is the precise note, accurate musical expression. This is an example of active listening, and musicians are very good at this. All right, they listen, and through consistent practice and concentration, sensitivity, increase their sensitivity to pitch variation and a bunch of musical things. Consistent practice and concentration allows musicians to do what? They call it opening your ear. Where are some of my musicians on here? You've got to open your ear as a musician. When a note is played, a musician will know right away, you know that that's a C. You know that that's a D or an F sharp because you have practiced and concentrating, learning to decode the sound. I play the drums, like I said, but I can't tell the difference between a C and F sharp and D. You know, I'm not that musically inclined. I haven't trained my ear to be so sensitive. Musicians can play by ear. We've got to learn to pray by ear. Come on, somebody, write that. Pray by ear. Musicians play by ear, but every believer must learn to pray by ear. Your ear becomes sensitive. You open your spiritual ear when you are engaged in prayer with God. We've got to learn to pray, not just to speak, but pray to listen, pray to hear. When our spiritual ear is open, we increase the sensitivity, our sensitivity to the voice of God. We've got to train our ear to accurately and consistently hear the distinct sound from heaven. You can train your ear in prayer. The more time you no one can say that they clearly and consistently hear the voice of God and they are not a prayerful person. It does not happen. Come on, let me be real with you. You've got to be, and I've got to be, we've got to be prayerful people if we're going to consistently and clearly hear the voice. You are training your ear to the sound of the voice of God and learning to decode when God speaks to you. Because remember, God speaks uniquely to each of us. God speaks uniquely to every person. So just like that musician, we've got to open our spiritual ear. And it comes through prayer, talking to God, spending that quiet time. Most of the time, when we meditate in the presence of God, stop talking sometimes. Listen, have you ever been in a conversation and the person is just talking and you can't say a word? Do you know that's how we sometimes pray to God? We are just going full speed. And then, God, bless me, bless my children, bless my home, bless this, keep me this, help me here, give me this, give me that. Okay, God, I love you. And then you're out. God didn't get to say a word to you. We can't be in a rush when we pray. When you've got to be, spend time in the presence. It is often in the still, quiet moments that God speaks deep inside of us. It comes through spending time. Prayer is a discipline. So tonight I'm going to get into this model of communication with God. And I'm going to share this with you in perhaps ways you may not have heard. But we need to understand the communication model that we have with God. And then we need to understand the composition of man for us to better understand how we communicate, how we interact, how we can decode. Tonight, I'm not even gonna get to the composition of man. I'm really gonna deal with the model of communication. I don't think I've got the time to get into the second, but it works together. What I want to do is give us a framework tonight of how we can engage in prayer. My genuine desire from this series and the things that we're talking about is for each of us to become more intimate and knowledgeable with the voice of God. You know when God is speaking to you. You do not have to say, is that God? You've learned. We've got to learn a little bit about how this thing functions. Let me go into some things. Prayer in itself is just, in its simplest, purest form, is communication. Prayer is simply communication with God. It is something that every child of God should be able to do. It is natural. You don't need fancy words. It's not the big sounding things. God listens and hears you just the way you speak. Amen, somebody. God loves to hear your voice. Come on. God loves to hear your voice. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. In the natural realm, we breathe without ceasing. If you stop breathing, you die. In the spiritual realm, we've got to pray without ceasing. So prayer is like spiritual breathing. Have you prayed today? No, you don't have to answer. Have you prayed today? Have you actually taken a moment away from everything that's happening in your life, everything that's happening in your day, and just locked in on God? We've got to do it so we can consistently and clearly hear the voice of God. I'm going to take you through a model. Stay with me. Prayer is one of the greatest relational tools that we have. Let me ask you a question. Did prayer exist in the Garden of Eden? If prayer is communication with God, then of course prayer existed in Eden, because Adam and Eve, they walked with God. They talked with him in the cool of the day. I'm not going to touch this, but I'm just mentioning it. But something drastically and dramatically happened to prayer after man sinned in the garden. Prayer is a relational tool, but after man sinned in Eden, prayer became a weapon. Because for the first time, man realized that we have an enemy. And prayer is actually a weapon that we can use. This is different kind. There's warfare kind of prayer, and there's different kinds of prayer. I'm going to focus on communication. I like warfare, but I'm going to deal with this. But before we can get into this today, I want to give us a framework for communication that we can use. It's helpful for us to have a point of reference before sometimes we deal, all right? It's helpful for us to have a framework before we can deal with something on a divine level. What do I mean? We call God Father, Abba Father. Why does that make sense to you and I? Because we understand the concept of fatherhood. We understand what it means to have a father. So then we can relate to God as our heavenly father, because we know what an earthly father is. So let's use that same principle. I'm going to deal with a communication model that we have as humans, human communication. And then we're going to take that framework and apply it to our communication with God. All right, you ready? Come on, let's go. Thank you guys who've been sharing this stream. A lot of you have been posting it and sharing messages. I believe that God wants to speak to each of us, and my job is just to help us lock in on that voice and decode the voice. So here we go, all right? Communication. Let's look at human communication for the moment. So stay with me. This is going to get good. Stay with me. And human communication, you know, can be verbal. It can be nonverbal. You know what I mean. Sometimes you just got to look at somebody. All right, I'll get into that. So here we go. In human communication, We have a sender, and then we have a receiver. Some person that somebody's sending a message, somebody's receiving a message. Every time we engage in human communication, this happens without us thinking. Here we go. The sender must think, encode, and then transmit the message. What do I mean? Excuse me. Thoughts are the basis of all communication. So if you're going to communicate with somebody, first you've got to think about what you are going to say. Sometimes we say, yo, man, you better, did you think before you speak? Because sometimes it feels like people not really thinking. But every form of communication, you've got to think before you speak. So the first thing you do when you communicate in the human sense is you think. Determine what message you want to say. What message are you trying to give? What message are you trying to convey? So let me make this practical. Think. I you know what? I'm thinking, I want to just convey to my wife how much I love her, how much she means to me. So I'm thinking about the message that I want to bring over to my wife, all right? She's so lovely. I love her. Hey, come on. Now, you got to think first. Then you encode. How are you going to take this message? How are you going to encode this message and put this message together? So you've got to determine the words you want to use to express yourself. You think, I want to say something nice to my wife. I want to tell her how much she means to me. So I've now got to find the words to express what I'm thinking. You with me? I've got to find the words to express what I'm thinking. Words are so important. It can completely change the tone of your message. So you've got to think the message, and you've got to encode the message, use the right words. Baby, I love you. You're so special. You everything to me. You my one and only. Listen, if you ever try to leave me, I'm going to go with you. Come on, somebody. She can't go. I'm going with her. All right. I love her more than roti. Hey, you think, you encode, and then you transmit. Transmission is how you send the message. What do I mean? Well, I could write that message on a note and give it to my wife. Listen, baby, I love you. I'm going to make you some nice dinner later on and give her a message in a note. I could post it online because I want the whole world to know and tag my wife, Christina Prasad. I love you. You're so beautiful. Or I could write a song. Boundless love, unending joy. This is my life. Come on, and I could sing her a song. You think, you encode, and then you choose how you're going to transmit the message, right? And remember, it could be verbal or it doesn't have to be verbal. When the first time I saw my wife, I just looked at her and I gave her the look and she knew what was up. I just kind of, let me do it over here. And I already, just by my look, she already knew that, yo, this dude is for real. Hey! You can communicate non-verbally. You can, sometimes you just got that a child does something wrong and mommy just gives him that look like, hey, you better shut that down right away, all right? So you think, we're dealing with this framework, then we're going to apply it to God. Think, encode, and then transmit your message. That's what the sender does. Hit the share button for me. Let's go. The receiver now has to do three things in every message. The receiver must perceive, decode, and then understand. The receiver must perceive that you are speaking to them before there's communication. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody and they completely don't acknowledge you? There's nothing more frustrating than you trying to have a conversation with somebody who's not listening, who's not plugged in. The person has to perceive that you are talking to them, recognize a message is coming. Then they're going to decode your message based on their knowledge and experience. And this is where it gets dicey, it gets tricky. What do I mean? When you hear a message, you're going to start to decode the message based on your knowledge and experience. Let me give you an example. I remember being in science class and the teacher walked into the classroom. He dropped the test on the desk and he said, these results are cataclysmic. I had no idea what this man was talking about. But, so I didn't understand the words. I didn't understand the word cataclysmic, but I looked at his face and so did everybody else in the class. And I knew the man was saying, we're a bunch of idiots. He was saying, you guys completely messed up that test. These results are cataclysmic. I was in a business meeting The CFO slammed his fist on the desk and he said, I will be apoplectic if this thing doesn't get done. Again, you decode based on your knowledge and your experience. I did not know, I've never heard the word apoplectic, but I knew the man was not happy because I recognized the body language that went with it. I'm trying to take us through a model and we're going to apply this model to God. Decoding is so important because sometimes our biases affect the way we decode. And this is why we got so much problems in human communication, because there are perceptual biases that come into play. Let me give you a real life example. Come on, somebody. Good to see you on. All right, now this woman was in the park with her dog and she saw a man. And he said, hey, can you put your dog on a leash? And this is Amy Cooper, and of course the man was Christian Cooper. It's been in the news just a few days ago. And he was just trying to say to her, ma'am, in this part of what's the park in New York? Central Park. In this part of Central Park, your dog needs to be on a leash. And she did not receive the communication. She went, some of you may have seen the video, she called the police on him and the whole thing escalated. Why? Because in decoding the message, there looked like there was a bias. So regardless of the message that this man was giving and saying to her, she was just looking and then she had a bias. Communication can be the perception, and the decoding can change everything if we have biases, if we've got prejudices. If you've been hurt by somebody before, if you've been in a relationship and you've been hurt and let's say the man said, girl, you know you can trust me. I'll always be there for you. And the next person you meet says the same thing to you. Girl, you know I got you. I'm always going to be there for you. Right away, your mind might come right back to the words you heard. You have been hurt, and that affects the way you decode the message. Stay with me. This is important in our communication with God, because our decoding can sometimes be off because of what we've been dealing with, what the things that are bothering us, the things that are distracting us. We've got to learn to decode properly. So the sender will think, the sender will encode the message and then transmit the message. Come on, somebody. The receiver now must perceive that you are talking, decode based on knowledge and understanding and all that stuff, and knowledge and experience. And then ultimately, you want the receiver to understand, correctly interpret the message so that you have now communicated clearly. It is so important. This is a framework of human. And guess what? In human communication, we mess this thing up. I might say, man, that was ill. And I mean like, yo, that was really, you know, that was good. I loved it. And you might think, ill, who's sick? What do you mean? Where's the Advil? Because in your, from your decoding of that word, it didn't mean the same thing as how I use it. All right, you with me? All right, come on. Let's take this thing now to our communication with God. I'm dealing with some theoretical foundational things because I want us to have a deeper appreciation for what happens when we pray. And I believe it will help to open up our spiritual ears and help us in our communication with God, how we talk to God, all right? When we talk and so to make sure that when we're plugging into God, if there's biases that we have, if we've been hurt, we can bring those things before God. God, remove. David prayed and said, God, search my heart and see if there be anything that is inside of me that doesn't belong and take it out. He's talking about hurts. He's talking about biases, things that can affect our communication with God and our communication with other people. Right? Sometimes we don't open up even to God because of what some serious, serious things that have happened to us in the past. And we're carrying these hurts, and even God can't speak to us. Even God can't get through. We've got to cast our cares and release things. All right, let me go. Come on. Let's get it. Here we go. Same framework now I'm going to use to apply to our divine communication with God. Here we go. So when you come to pray, you've got to think, you've got to encode, and you've got to transmit. When you come to communicating with God, same thing. What do you want to say to God? Father, I love you. I adore you. Thank you for your blessing, your protection. Thank you for healing my so-and-so. And so you think of what you're going to say. Then you're going to encode your message to God. You're going to say, you're going to prepare the words. You're going to choose it carefully. You're going to choose, what do you want to say to God? Be careful what you say to God. Some people make promises in prayer and all of a sudden they can't keep up with it. Be careful. You're not talking just to the average every day. You're talking to the creator of this universe. And when you make a promise, come on, you better do your best to live up to it. So you think what you're going to say to God, you encode your message, and then you transmit your message to God. You can transmit your message in a whisper. God, I love you. You ever whisper to God? Or you can just shout it. God, I thank you. Shout to God. You know, God's done something good to you. You rejoice. Yes, God, thank you for what you did. You know, you can sing your message to God. You can sing a song. We got some people that can sing. You can sing. Every one of us can sing. But you can sing unto the Lord a song. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. And you begin to bless God. You can sing psalms and spiritual hymns. You think, you encode, and then you transmit your things to God. Sometimes you can talk to God even in your mind without even releasing a word. Here's what happened. And we think, we encode, and we transmit. Let me plug this in. You don't transmit a message to God for God to understand. It's not for God's benefit. It's for you. It's for me. We don't have to transmit for God to hear. Now, on God's side as the receiver, there is no perceive, decode, and understand. We can't figure out God on that level. All we know is when we think, encode, and transmit, God hears. God, that's all I can say from God's side of this. He hears. What does God hear? God does not, he hears your thoughts. When God said, Adam, where are you after they sinned? He wasn't asking Adam that question for God to figure out where he was. God knew where he was. He was asking Adam to figure out where, so that Adam could figure out where he was. So God hears. He hears our words. God doesn't just hear words. He hears our thoughts. God does, I'm going to give you scriptures, but I'm going to try to keep this moving. God doesn't just hear thoughts. He says in Psalm 139, this David said, thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understand my thoughts. God hears your thoughts. I said he hears our speech. He had heard my voice in my supplication. God hears our actions. He said to the Pharisees in Luke 16:15, you look like you like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your hearts. God hears. You think, you encode, you transmit. That happens every time you communicate with God. And on the other side, God hears. Come on, somebody say, speak, Lord. God wants to talk to you. That's why we're emphasizing on this. We're staying on this. He hears. Now, here's how God will now speak. I'm getting to the decode. God is so used to send your message to God. God hears what you're saying. Listen, I didn't say this, but let me say it. God hears your tears. There have been people that have been crying. You've been crying out to God. You're so distressed. You're so discouraged. You're so perplexed. I want you to know that God hears your tears. You don't have to open a word of your mouth to express what is happening. God hears your tears. This is how intimately God knows you. He knows the tears. He knows what you are going through. But God will speak. Let me go into this. But God's speaking. God will speak to us. How does God now speak as we think, encode, and transmit? Well, God speaks in prayer. This is one of the greatest ways God speaks to us, is through this. So when you're doing all of that and you're doing it in a moment of prayer, remember, you can do that when you're walking to the bus stop. Father, I love you. God, help me to have a good day. That's good. But in those moments, you can't. It's not a prolonged period. God wants you to lock in prayer and begin to transmit, begin to talk to him, so he can now begin to, in a moment of stillness. Sometimes you just got to be quiet. I really want to encourage you. The next time you go into prayer, if you pray for 20 minutes, speak for 10, listen for 10. Or speak for 7 and listen for, you do the math. 13, right? Spend time listening. Don't speak for 19 minutes and then 60 seconds you give God. That is not the purpose of prayer only. Pray not to speak, but pray to hear. You'll open your spiritual ears. It is in prayer that God begins to speak to you. But remember I said that when we come in the presence of God, our mind is sometimes so jumbled up by everything that's happening in our day. Our mind is so all over the place. It takes time for you to just breathe in God, breathe with God. Just quietly settle your spirit, settle yourself. I got to get to the composition of man. This is powerful when we put this together. Remember, man is, let me say it, but I won't deal with it. Man is body, soul, and spirit. And it's necessary for us to understand the triune nature of man when we're dealing with the model of communication. We put this thing together. It will really shift the way you see prayer. But I'm dealing with that next week. So you got to stay with me. Stay with me. All right. So God will speak in prayer. God will speak in that voice. Remember, that voice is a voice that is a conviction. It's repetition. Let me give you an example. Saturday morning, I went in prayer. The pastors of our church said, let's get together. And some of our leaders, not more than what we were required in the building. We were in the building. And as I got into prayer, God brought somebody to my attention. And I knew I had a conviction. I knew that I needed to reach out to that person. After I was finished praying, I was driving home and I had forgotten. But as I was driving again, the Spirit of God brought the person to my attention and I acted on that. God will speak to you in prayer. God will speak to your thoughts. He speaks in prayer. That's God dealing with your spirit sometimes. God deposits thoughts. We talked a lot about thoughts and discerning and our thoughts last time. God will speak through his word. Praying and the word, I'm not going into this too much, but praying and the word, they go hand in hand. Read, when you pray, read a scripture, have it with you. God will speak to you from the word. It meditate, it goes together. God will speak to you in dreams. God will speak through experiences. I've sat on a plane, I looked outside and I saw clouds and God began to speak to me. God showed me things. God speaks through experiences. God speaks through signs. And he speaks through wonders. A lot of us want signs. God, show me a sign. Give me a sign. Gideon said, give me a sign. Make it rain. God made it rain. He said, okay, God, make it rain just on this fleece and nowhere else. So God did that. And you know, he wanted a sign. I've asked God for signs. We've all done it. But oftentimes, you know, the signs are really for those who do not know the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. You know, somebody would pray, say, God, who's the right person for me to marry? You're genuinely asking God about the person that you should be with, or something of that nature. And you might say, God, give me a sign. God, if she walks in the room wearing a red dress, the person that walks in the room wearing a red dress, that is the one. God, that's a sign that when I show up to prayer meeting, that she's wearing red. God, if she's wearing red, she the one. And you get to prayer meeting or whatever, and she comes through the door, you go to the library, wherever it is, or at work, and she comes through the door and she's wearing a pink dress. And you say, thank you, Lord, because pink is just another shade of red. Come on, give him some glory. You know what I mean? Pink is another shade of red. Thank you, Jesus. If she walked in the room wearing a green dress, you know what you say? Thank you, Lord, because green means go, red means stop. What am I saying? Sometimes we're asking God for signs and things. You already made up your mind. You already know what you're going to do anyway. You're just trying to put it in front of God so you can say you kind of asked God about it. That's not how it works. But here's the thing. Come on, I'm trying to get through this. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, if she's... Lord, if her name is Christina, she the one. God, if she can cook, come on. You've got to send your message to God and got to respond in different ways. But here's our response now. I'm going to deal with how we perceive, how we decode the message from God. So God will give us the message in different ways. Now, come on. Remember, I'm talking about opening your spiritual ear. Open your spiritual ear. So we've got to perceive that God is talking. Let me say it again. All right. The sender would think, encode, and transmit. The receiver always has to perceive, decode, and then you understand. So when God is speaking to you, first thing, you've got to perceive he is speaking to you. You know the story that Samuel went down to sleep and he heard the voice of God. He got up, he ran to Eli, said, Eli, yo, what up, man? Why are you calling me? Eli said, no, son, go back to sleep. It wasn't me. Three times he heard God and he ran to Eli. Eli said, son, the next time you hear that voice, you say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Samuel did not perceive that God was speaking to him. Many of us, I believe in this day and hour, God wants to speak to you intimately. God wants to talk to you. And this is why he's putting it on my heart to keep going on this. But you've got to perceive that God is talking to you. You have got to. So when you are in this place of prayer, do not hang up the phone. You've got to remember the musicians actively practice and concentrate on hearing the sound, decoding sound to hear the notes. You've got to actively listen to learn the voice of God and how he speaks. So you've got to not just speak in prayer, spend the time listening. Go into prayer and say, God, I'm not leaving this. I'm coming in right now and I want to hear your voice. There are moments I get in prayer and I say, God, I can't leave until I hear from you. The moments that I've got to preach, I don't want to move until I hear from God. If I don't hear from God, if I don't receive from God, I can't function. I can't speak. I can't stand in that podium and share. If I can't come on this stream unless I'm hearing from God, because I'm trying to speak only what God is putting on me to speak. So you've got to perceive, but remember now you've got to decode based on your experience, based on your prior experience. And this, the decoding is all of the six things, the six principles I said last time when you discern the voice. Is it God? You go from your experience. You go from elimination. You begin, is it the voice of God? Eliminate what doesn't make sense. Oh, that's a fleshly thought. Eliminate it. You go through alignment, line up with the word. You go to conviction, repetition, and peace. And you begin to get the decode. God will download in your spirit, and then you begin to process what God is saying. And sometimes it takes you time to process. Why did God say this? Remember that on the receiver, you perceive, you decode, and then you understand. But we cannot do that with God. Take the word understand and cross it out when it comes to divine communication. The word for understand is obey. We perceive that God is speaking. We try to decode and interpret what he's saying, and then we obey. I don't care if you understand. My job is not to understand everything God tells me. I do not understand everything God tells me. You do not have to understand everything and why God is saying what he's saying. You simply have to obey. God never asked us to understand him. He called us and asked us to trust and obey him. Somebody write that. Trust and obey. We cannot and we will not always understand why God told Hosea to go marry Gomer, prostitute, an unfaithful woman. That doesn't make sense. God will tell you things that don't make sense. Run around the wall a few times and scream and shout and it's going to fall down. Go to the place where you're going for your interview. Pray the night before in the parking lot. If God told you that you got an interview somewhere tomorrow and he says, go to that parking lot the night before and pray and claim that job in Jesus' name. I don't know. It don't have to make sense to you. You do it. You got a big contract. Go where God ever says and do what he tells you to do. It don't have to make sense to you. God will not always make sense to us. If God made sense in everything he did, come on. We would be just like God. But it's not about understanding. And it is not also about agreement. Perceive, decode, and obey. Obey does not mean agreement all the time. I don't always like what God has to say. I don't always agree with what God has to say. Hold on, what kind of a pastor are you? Now you say you don't agree with God? Hey, listen. There are times in my life, I felt earlier in times in my life that I was ready for certain things and I'm complaining to God. I'm saying, God, what's up? I'm ready. Let's get this thing going, man. Let's get the show on the road. Let's take this thing to another level, God. No, God, you chill out, man. You keep being you, D. God, so I don't necessarily agree with God's timing and everything concerning my own life. You will not agree with everything that God necessarily would do concerning your own life, the timing of your life. But please understand, God is perfect. He operates from a place of perfection, perfect knowledge, perfect view of the future. Perceive that he's speaking, decode what he's saying, and obey. Obey what God is saying. You don't have to agree, you've got to obey. Come on, somebody, your next level is in your obedience. Your success in life is in your obedience to what God is saying to you. It doesn't have to make sense to you. You do not have to like it. People do not have to agree with it. You do not have to just obey the voice of God. Let me wrap this thing up. I'm honestly trying not to go too long in these streams, but this content is, oh, come on, somebody. Listen, thank you for being here with me on this. God bless you. I'm wrapping this up. And then next week, I'm going to get into understanding the composition. Remember, for us to deepen our understanding of prayer, we've got to have an understanding of the model, of the framework, and then the composition of man. Watch this. Here's part of the model. People have asked me, who do you pray to? Do you pray to the Holy Spirit? Do we pray to the Father? You can do all of that, but let me be very precise in this model of prayer. We pray to God the Father in the name of his Son Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray to God the Father in the name of his Son Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. What is the power that makes this network of communication or this model works? What is the power that brings this all together? It is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is Holy Spirit power that makes this model work. It is the Spirit of God that makes prayer powerful. It is the Holy Spirit, because even when we don't know what to pray for, the Bible tells us the Spirit of God, it will intercede with groans and things that and utterances we don't even understand. I'm not getting into this tonight, but there's something called precise, perfect prayer. I won't deal with this tonight. But when you speak in tongues, all right, let me just drop it here. When you speak in tongues in that heavenly language, that is precise, perfect prayer. Why? It is not words coming from your humanness. It is the Spirit of God praying through you. It is precise, perfect prayer. You cannot pray wrong. Have you ever prayed and you messed up and you pray in English? I've prayed some things. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Why? Because I'm tired. And I pray some nonsense sometimes. I pray some words that don't make sense because I'm tired. You got to understand, when you encode your message, make sure you're awake, not sleepy. Some of us praying and like you fall asleep on the bed, you're drooling. I've done it. You fall asleep on the chair. Listen, I sometimes sit in my chair like this and I'm fast asleep. My sons will come and wake me up. Dad, go to bed. And sometimes we're going to bring, that's the kind of time we give God, and we want to consistently hear the voice of God. You cannot consistently hear the voice of God if you're consistently tired in prayer. Find a better time to react to God, to interact with God. Let me say this. I got to finish. I'm going because God keeps putting it on me. But in your cell phone, the SIM card is what gives that phone power. The SIM card allows the phone to connect to the tower and to connect. The Holy Spirit is like that for us. We need the Holy Spirit in us so that we can connect in prayer to God. God wants to hear your voice. God wants you to hear his voice so that you can be his voice, so that you can be his voice in this earth, in this moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to end it right there. I'm going to encourage us. I'm encouraging all of us tonight. The next time that you go into prayer, please pray not just to speak, pray to listen. Purposefully. Listen, young, old, wherever you are, whatever stage you're at, God wants to deposit more into you. He wants us to open our spiritual ears. Remember, pray by ear. And I don't mean our physical ear. I'm talking about our spiritual ear, so that the rhythm of God can become your rhythm. The patterns of God can become your patterns. When you pray and God begins to speak, write it down. There are times that I've prayed and God gave me an image, just a simple triangle or a circle or a shape, and I drew it, and it honestly did not make sense to me. I remember this vividly, but as I was preparing a message, I went back to the piece of paper that I wrote all this stuff on, and God showed me the shape I drew, and he began to explain that what how this shape related to my message. That's how crazy it sometimes can get. But you've got to just obey. If he gives you a shape, draw the shape. God don't make mistakes. Open our spiritual ears. Father, you want to speak. I pray tonight for a deeper sensitivity to your voice. For every person watching this now and later, God, your desire is to speak to us, God. Father, intimately. And Lord, help us. Help, go, God. Help us to open our spiritual ears by spending time with you, waiting in your presence to receive the download, to hear your voice, God, to decode what you have to say, and give us the strength to simply obey you. In the name of Jesus tonight, God, I thank you tonight. Let it be so. In the name of Jesus tonight, God, I thank you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to bring this thing to a close. I went longer than I wanted to go. Next week is going to be powerful. We got to watch this and connect it to what I'm going to be teaching on next week, because I'll deal with the composition of man, body, soul, and spirit. It is necessary to understand who you are, the unity you have with body, soul, and spirit, to understand when we speak to God and bring this thing all together. All right, we're going to keep going in this thing. Amen. God bless you. Listen, if you got questions on any of this stuff, just hit me a message. Love to just interact with you, and however I can help, I'm praying for you. You pray for me. We're doing this thing together. All right. God bless you guys. If it has been a blessing, please hit the share button. Tag somebody in it. Share it with somebody. Let's put this out there. I believe God wants to speak to each of you, and I'm just doing my part to help. All right. God bless you. Excuse me. See you next week. This is Thrive Time Thursday. If we got any thrivers, come on, somebody. I'm thriving. You've got to hear the voice of God so that you can thrive in the earth. I'm a thriver. Somebody say it. If you're a thriver, that means you are a praying person. That means you are a person that's going to listen. I'm a thriver. Amen. God bless you, Thrive Nation. I will see you next week. God bless you. TTT. Remember, hashtag Thrive Time 1010. And I'm going to get the podcast updated like it should be. I am thriving. So it's going to be tomorrow. I'm praying that we can just get that thing up to date as it should be. All right. God bless you guys. Good to see you on tonight.